Begin the Karan Davim Sech Tziva Mesdav Samach Zayin. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which there was a machlekes between Reb Ami and Reb Yehuda regarding the specificities of the Nichsi Tzern Basel. And that is, although the husband takes full responsibility, it's written in the Ksuba, we evaluate how much these properties are you bring into the marriage. If it's $1,000, at the end of the marriage, you're going to get exactly that $1,000. Now, the question was, if let's say when she's leaving the marriage, when there's a divorce, is it that he has to give her back the object itself? Or is it that, no, he doesn't have to give back the object itself. He could just give back the value because as we see that he had full responsibility and if anything would happen, it's going to be his loss, same as his gain, and he doesn't have to give back the object anymore, but rather the value. Now, Rabbi Huda was recorded as saying, Hadinimah, that the right is with her, that although he has all the liability, but ultimately the object is owned by her, and when the marriage ends, she gets the object. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings Amar Bihuda, Hechnisa loy shnei kelim be'elam zuz. Let's say when she came into the marriage, she brought in two vessels for a total value of 1,000 zuz. Now, v'shavchu v'amdu shnei alafim. Towards the end of the marriage, that they went up in price, and now they're both worth for a total of 2,000. Now, echad noitlasa b'ksubasa. So now when she's leaving the marriage, so one of them, which is each one now is worth 1,000 zuz, she, since it went up in price, she takes only one of them for the ksuba, because as we said before, nichsi tzern basel, actually when it goes up in price, the husband gets the gain. She just has to get back exactly how much it was worth when she brought it in, which was a total of both of them for 1,000. Now that each one is 1,000, she only has to get one. The echad they send is damim and atlasi. Now regarding the second one, she has to pay him 1,000, and then she can take the object itself. And that's neishvach b'savir, because as Rabbi Huda had explained in the previous daf, she gets to take the object she brought into the marriage, not like Reb Ami, because these are things that they're family heirlooms, these are things that she brought in from her father's household, she gets to take it back. Which the Gemara asks, Maika Mashmalan, what is this halacha of Rabbi Huda teaching us? Shvach beis avia di dahave, is it teaching us this concept that things which are endeared to her because it's from her father's house, that it's considered hers and she gets to take that out and the husband doesn't get to keep it? But Am Rabbi Huda Chadazimna, Rabbi Huda already said in the context of his Machlokes Reb Ami, which was mentioned in the previous daf, that when it comes to her taking it back, does she get the object or could the husband pay her out with money? And he said that no, she gets the object. So what's the added chiddush in saying the halacha in this context? So I think Mar says that no, you would have thought maybe here would be different. Because Ma'a D'Tema, maybe you would say, Hanamili Hecha D'Matya L'Mishkal B'Ksubasa. That Machlokes that was mentioned in the Machlokes with Reb Ami, was talking about where she brought in an object, it's worth $1,000, now it's in the Ksuba, she goes and she wants to get it back. Now that the question was, this that she's taking from the Ksuba, did she get the object, or could he pay her out with money? But regarding her, it's not in her Ksuba, she got her Ksuba. Both were worth $1,000. Now, getting one of them is already $1,000, so her Ksuba was paid off. Now the question is, in regards to now her paying in to get back her object she brought in, maybe then we would say actually that no, it's actually his and he gets to keep it because her ksuba is paid off. That's a chiddush that Shvach B'Savir goes so far to say that not only when she's getting the object, question is money or object, that she gets the object, but even if she already got her ksuba, still the added kli, which is above the price of the ksuba now because it went up in price, she gets that back too, again because of the concept of shvach beisavia, although she has to pay it in because she doesn't get the rights for that because that's an extra $1,000, but she could pay it and get those vessels back which she brought from her father's household. Now, the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing the topic of nichsi tzern basel in relative to when it's for going into marriage to a kohen. And that's in relation to the halachas of consumption of truma. So the Mishnah tells us, "Bas Yisrael shanisus l'kohen v'meis." So you have a non-kohen woman; her father wasn't a kohen. Gets married to a kohen who feeds his family truma. Then the kohen dies. Now v'henicha mu'beres. Now when he dies, his wife is pregnant. Now Rashi adds, actually the case is told when there are many other children possibly, but and hence she would eat truma because halacha is when her husband, the kohen, dies, if she has children from him, she eats truma. So the fact of regarding the fetus is not relative for her. She's going to eat because she has other children. However, there is an impact of that she's pregnant in regards to lo yoichlu avodeha. That is her avdei tzern barzel, those which are basically taken under the responsibility of her husband, and it's just that she gets it when she leaves the marriage, those avadim will not be able to eat betruma. They'll not be able to consume truma. And the reason is because the father's estate, which includes the inheritors, the Yerushim, they own, essentially, in regards to halacha of truma, as we said in the previous Mishnahs, that it's their property. Now, part of those inheritors includes the fetus. Now the reason why they can't eat is mipnei chelkei shelubur, is because of the portion in the rights of all these properties, one of them being these avdei tzar barzel, of the fetus has a right in that. Now, the fetus doesn't have the wherewithal to feed those properties of it, truma. And as Rashi brings us, the Gemara will explain where there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's because an uber, a fetus, in a non-Kohen womb, because the wife, although she gets to eat truma, she herself is a zar. She's not a Kohen or a Baz Kohen. So therefore, the fetus, which is like part of that body, now in that state, cannot be considered Kohen to feed its avodim truma, or because of a different source, which is only that a born child can feed others truma, but if it's not born, it's still a fetus, it cannot feed us. The Gemara brings from a pasuk in Vikuchav Beis, where it says, V'lid beisa him yechul b'lachmai, which literally means that those that are born into the household of a Kohen can eat the truma, but the drash is to read it in the way of yachilu, that only yelid beis, only that which was born already, has been delivered, that could be yachilu b'lachmai, can feed others, but if it wasn't born yet, it cannot. But either way, the reason is that because of the one of the many inheritors of all the sons, there's also the fetus gets the rights in those properties. And because he possibly owns this Eved, then this Eved is going to be considered the property of an Uber. And the Uber cannot feed others Truma, so then Nichsei Tzern Basel will not be able to eat Truma. As the Gemara elaborates on this halacha of an Uber, of a fetus, because Shohu Uber Paisel, as the next Mishnah will elaborate on this, a fetus invalidates. What that case is talking about is, for example, if let's say a Bas Kohen gets married to a non-Kohen, and he dies, and he leaves her pregnant, now, and there are no other children, so the halacha is that she's now invalid from returning to her father's household as she was before she got married. In other words, a Bas Kohen, a daughter of a Kohen, can eat truma. When she gets married to a non-Kohen, she can't eat anymore. If she dies without children, the pasuk says specifically she goes back to her father and can continue eating truma. But if she had children from the non-Kohen, then she cannot. So we say that the fetus is somewhere in the middle, l'chumra both ways, in the sense of that, oh, she's not kinareha, as Gemara will explain, she's not in her youthful way that she was before she got married because she's pregnant. And hence, the uba will be passing her from being considered as if there's no children to go back and eating truma in her father's household. Moreover, it's the other way too. Ve'ena machal, and the uba also doesn't feed. For example, if let's say a bas Yisrael, a daughter of a non-Kohen, gets married to a Kohen, and the Kohen dies, and he leaves her in a state of pregnancy. Now, and there's no other children. The fetus doesn't have the wherewithal, as we said, for different reasons why it is that way, to feed the mother, and the same thing would apply to the slaves, as we said before, and that's where this halach is coming from, of lo yichal avadeha b'truma, because the chelik of the uber, because the uber creates problems on both ways. And specifically for the halacha we're saying in our Mishnah, that it doesn't have the wherewithal, either because it's considered a zar, or because it's not a yalud yet, to go ahead and feed these Avdei Tzar Basel, who are owned by the Uber. Dear Rabbi Yossi, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Amr loy, the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, Me'achar she'adet talonu al-bas Yisrael l'kayin. Once you testified for us this halacha that you just said, regarding a Bas Yisrael, the daughter of a non-Kohen, who gets married to a Kohen, that you said, oh, if the child's a Eina Yalur, he's not born yet, then he cannot feed anyone else. Well then, Av Bas Kohen L'Kohen Omeis. Why do you say the case only when it's a daughter of a non-Kohen who got married to a Kohen? Even if it was a daughter of a Kohen who got married to a Kohen, then the Kohen died, V'nich Mubaris, and left her in the state of pregnancy, her slaves also in that case should not be able to eat truma. For the same logic, how could these Avdei Tzar Basel eat truma if they're partially owned or possibly owned by the Uber, where they're considered the Uber's slaves, and they would be eating only because of him, and as we said, he doesn't have the wherewithal to go ahead and feed others, again, either because he's a czar, or because he's going to be considered a yalud, but what the Chacham's opinion obviously is, and the Gemara will introduce this into one of these two opinions, if it's Zar or if it's a Yolad, it's Ein LeYolad. So if you're saying the sources on the Pasuk in Birkuchav Beis, so then why would you differentiate between the Bas Yisrael Lekoin or Bas Koin Lekoin? Even in that situation, you should say that the Nechzit Tzaren Basil should not be able to eat if she was left pregnant. Now, Ibailu, they had the following question, which we alluded to already in our explanation of the Mishnah. Time of Rabbi Yasi, what's the reason of Rabbi Yasi? Is it Mishum Diksava Uber Bemei Zara Zahu? Is it because he considers that the fetus in the womb of a non-Kohen body, which is what this woman is, she was married to a Kohen, but she's not a daughter of a Kohen. Now, there's a concept called Ube Yerech Imoy, which is that the fetus is basically like an extension, like one of the limbs of the mother, and therefore, the portion of the inheritance that's given over to the fetus is essentially owned by a non-Kohen, because till he's born, he's considered a non-Kohen, because he's an extension of his mother. And that's why the Avdi Tzaren Basil who are owned by him will not be able to eat truma, like a slave that's owned by a non-Kohen. Oidilmu, or maybe the source of Rabbi Yasi is, Yalud Meichel, as we quoted that pasuk before, that it says, Vilid Beisai, which is him Yachilu, that they can only feed others if they were born. She'enu Yalud Eina Meichel, but if he's not born yet, he wasn't delivered out into this world, so then he cannot feed others. And that's the reason why this Uber will make a problem for the Nechzit Tzaren Basil, because they're owned by him and he's not Yolad yet. And that's, therefore, he can't feed them Truma, even if it would say, let's say, that he's a Kain. So the Gemara is Lamai Nafkimina. What would be the difference between these two options? La Uber b'mei Kohenes, which is essentially the case, as the Gemara will shortly bring this, of what the Chachamim asked on Rabbi Yasi, when if you have a daughter of a Kain that married a Kain and became pregnant from him. And then he died. Now, if you say the reason is because of Zaris, that because he's an extension of the mother who is a non-Kohen, well, that wouldn't apply if the mother herself is a Bas Kohen. But if you say the reason is because he's not born yet, well, even if you're a Kohen, it doesn't make a difference. If you're not born, you cannot go ahead and feed out his Truma. So the question is, so which is the interpretation of Rabbi Yasi, as we see that there would be a Nafkemina in Halacha? So it's actually a Machlekes. I'm a Rabbi. He says, Hain Tamid Rabbi Yasi, the reason why Rabbi Yasi says that if the mother was, when she was widowed, she was pregnant, again, even if there's other children, that the Avdi Tzaren Basil would not be able to eat, is the Ksavu Ube B'mei Zara Zahu. He holds the reason is because that the mother herself is not a Kohen, and her fetus is therefore an extension of her, and therefore he invalidates these slaves who are owned by a non-Kohen. Rabbi Yisuf Amr, he says the other way. He says, no, it's because Yalad Meichel, only if you're born you could feed. She'en Yalad Ein Meichel, but if you're not born, you cannot feed. Now, that the Gemara has Meisve, they asked on Rabbi Yisuf in the following Brisa, which quotes the beginning part of this Brisa is really what was said at the end part of our Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Yisuf said to Rabbi Yisuf, wait a second. Ma'achar she'ad talon no bas Yisrael l'kayin. Once you said this testimony of your halacha regarding when the woman, even if there's other children, but she was widowed when she's pregnant, that if it was a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, that then the Uber is going to make problems, and that the Tzaren Basil cannot eat Truma, well then Bas Kohen l'Kohen Mahu, what would you say when she's a Bas Kohen herself, who was married to a Kohen, and she's pregnant, and then she dies in that pregnant state, what would be with the Avdi Tzaren Basil? Which in the Mishnah, the way it was phrased was that it should be the same. So he responded to them, he says, no, Zu Shemati, my tradition is I heard it regarding Bas Yisrael L'Kayin, but Vizu Lo Shemati regarding a Bas Kayin to a Kayin, there I didn't hear that it should be a problem, and actually there would be permitted that even if she was widowed in a state of Muberes, that the Avdi Tzaren Basil would be able to eat Truma. Now the Gemara concludes the question on Avisa. Iyamrit Bishleimu Ube B'mei Zara Zahu, if you say the interpretation is like Rabbah, that the reason why Avisa says it's a problem when she was widowed in a pregnant state is because she's a czar, and therefore her child is a czar, and now the slaves of a czar cannot eat truma. Well, that would make sense what he responded to them, that if the mother was a bas koyin, so therefore her womb is kahuna too, so that child would not create a problem for the Avdi Tzaren Basil, because the whole problem is only one of czaris of being a non-koyin. So that would make sense. But if you say like Rabbi Yosef that the reason is just regards to being born, so what should be the difference? That he said, no, this I heard by Bas Yisrael Lekain. But regarding Bas Koin Lekain, I didn't hear. What do you mean? It's the same thing. They're both Ein Yolad. So what should be the difference? The Gemara concludes, Kasha definitely is a difficulty. According to Rabbi Yosef, as the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, that's their taina to Rabbi Yosef, because they hold the reason is, as Rabbi Yosef, that it's because based on the logic of Ein Yolid. So we say Ein Yolid, so there shouldn't be any difference. But as we bring in the Brisa, Rabbi Yosef says that there is a difference. Sounds like Rabba, who says the reason is because Uba b'meizara zarhu, and not because of Ein Yolid. Now, however, the Gemara brings that Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zu div Rabbi Yosef. Now, this halacha that was being discussed primarily around one opinion, that of Rabbi Yosef, that the Uber would invalidate the Tzayim Barzal, the Adi Tzayim Barzal from eating Truma. That's only Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Ava Chachama Oimrim, they argue. They say, Yesh Le Banim, as the case of a Mishnah is told by, if there are other children except for this fetus, well then Eichlem, then the slaves would eat, and the reason is Mishum Banim. Because of the other children, as Rashi explains what Shmuel is saying that Chacham hold, they hold the fetus doesn't have Schia. He doesn't merit. He's not inheriting anything. He's still a fetus. And therefore he's not a viable inheritor. And therefore the fact that he could create problems because he's not born or because he's a Zar doesn't make a difference. He's not even a variable here. And therefore the slaves, if there are other sons, will eat. And even if Ein Le Banim, even if there's no other sons but the fetus, they would eat because of the brothers. If there's no other brothers of this husband that died without any children, the slaves will eat because of the extended family. As Rashi explains, what he's trying to say is that there's no Jewish person that doesn't have someone that he's related to. You go keep on going further back. Now, as long as the fetus wasn't born yet, so then whoever is closest in line to that kind that died without any children would inherit, and therefore this, and it's all paternally related, so whoever it is going to be a kohen, and therefore the slaves, the avdei tzayim barzel, will eat because of that person, but the fetus doesn't even get involved in the equation at all, and therefore the chacham argue in Rabbi Yosef and say the fetus is not going to cause problems for the nechas tzayim barzel. Now, the Gemara asks a question the way Rehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that he said zu, like in other words, this was the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Now, what that sounds like is that v'lo yisvirli, but that Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosef that the fetus has some type of inheritance that he could acquire things. He's saying, that's Rabbi Yosef. But you should know the Chum argue as if he's trying to say that he holds like the Chum. But the difficulty with that is, Ha'amalei Shmuel b'Shmuel himself said Rav Chana Bagdasa. Now Bagdasa, Rashi says, either means from the term of Agoda, that's the root, meaning he was that of who had all the homiletic interpretations, or actually it's a reference to a place in Bavel, which is known as Baghdad, that's where the term Bagdasa is coming from. So either way, he said to this individual, says, Puk Isli Be'asar. He says, go out, I want you to gather for me 10 men, because I want to publicize something. 10 people is a way of publicizing something. De'emalach Bampayu, because I want to tell you in front of everybody, Hamazaka lo uber kana. If you merit something to a fetus, the fetus actually acquires it. So you see that the uber could be kana. So how could Shmuel say, oh, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef? Where obviously he's going based on the premise of that the uber is somewhat inheriting here and could create problems. But the Chama argue, they say, no, he doesn't play a role at all. Now, but Shmuel himself holds a Rabbi Yosef, it seems like. So what's he saying, zu? So the Gemara says, you're right, ela zu, viscerally, zu doesn't mean that he argues with it. It means that's Rabbi Yosef's opinion, and I actually agree with him, but there are those who argue. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then my kamash malon, then what's Shmuel teaching us by saying the statement of, oh, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, but there are others who argue, he's teaching us the pligra bono led Rabbi Yosef? In other words, if he holds like him, so he's not teaching us that, we know he holds like him, so what's he saying? That, oh, but there are others who argue on him. The question is, oh, me pligi? In other words, he's saying that I hold like Rabbi Yosef and not like those who argue. That's what it sounds like he's trying to say, the chiddush is. But the difficulty is, in other words, if you would say originally that it's like he's trying to say not like him, so that's what he would be coming to say. But if you're saying that he holds like him, so what's he trying to say? He's trying to say, oh, but I don't hold like those who argue on him. But that's what the Gemara's question is, umi pligi, are there those who argue on Rabbi Yosef? But on that Muslim, the Gemara asked, but the Reb Zakeh had said, that zu edus heyod Rabbi Yosef mepi shmai vavtalin, this testimony which we're saying in our Mishnah was something that he testified in the name of shmai vavtalin, v'hoidu loy, and that the sages agreed to him. So who argues on him that you're saying that Shmuel is coming to say that I hold like him, not like those who argue on him, but no one argues? So that Amar Vashi says, Mikutan v'kiblu? Does that statement that Rabbi Zakeh say that the sages accepted what Rabbi Yosef said? But how do you do? He just says that they admitted to him. What did they admit? the Mistaber Taimri, that what he was saying makes sense. But they still argue, and therefore it's not a problem that that's what Shmuel is coming to say, that this is what Rabbi Yossi says. And I agree with him, but not like those who argue with him, I argue with them too. So the Gemara says, Tarabanan, regarding the topic that we mentioned, the Gemara elaborates with a brisa regarding this opinion of Rabbi Yossi and other opinions. Hiniach banan, if a Kohen who died left over children, and he didn't leave his wife in a state of pregnancy, so elu ve'elu, so then all the types of slaves, whether it's Abdi Melug, or which is considered basically the wife's slaves, or Abdi Tzermbaz, which are essentially the slaves of the inheritors, Eichlim, they're both going to eat Shuma. Now, the reason is, the Abdi Melug will eat because of her, because she eats, because she has children. If she has children from her husband that died, she continues eating, and they eat through her. The Abdi Tzermbaz will eat because of the sons. They're the slaves of the sons who can feed Shuma. Next case. Let's say the Kohen died and he didn't leave over any children and his wife is pregnant. So then both types of slaves do not eat. And the reason is because the Uber, as we said before, is in a compromised situation. He cannot yet feed others, either because he's a tzar or because he's an enoyolud. So neither can the mother eat or any of the types of slaves. The mother can't because her husband died and she wasn't left yet with any children. Now, neither can the slaves because the Avdi Melug only eat through her and the Avdi Tzermbaz only eat through children and there's no children to go ahead and feed them yet. Next case. Hiniach banim benichim uberes. Let's say there were sons that were left over and she was also left in the state of pregnancy. So that halacha is Avdi Melug oichlim kederch shehi oicheles. So the Avdi Melug will continue to eat just like she eats. And the reason is, as we said, Avdi Melug are basically owned by the mother. And the Uber, the fetus, has nothing to do with those slaves. And she herself could continue eating because she has sons. So the sons allow her to eat. And her Avdi Melug could eat through her. And the Uber doesn't play a role over here. Because she won't become pasul or kosher through them. As long as she has at least one viable child, she eats. And her Avdi Melug eat because of her. But Avdi Tzermbarzel lo yechlu. However, those Avdi Tzermbarzel, which are basically under the domain of the inheritors, they will not eat. And the reason is Nechelkei shel Uber, because of the portion of the inheritance of the fetus, who he also has somewhat of inheritance over here. As we said, that's Rabbi Yis's opinion, who he has Zechia in different kinyanim. Now, as Rashi actually explains a little bit more specific over here, he says that we don't know which part of the estate of the properties are going to go to the fetus. Now, therefore, the slaves will be forbidden to eat because maybe actually who's going to be their rightful owner is just going to be the Uber. And if it's the Uber, if we cannot clarify, we can't verify who's who, so all the Avdi Tzermbaz can't eat because maybe they're really in the domain of the Uber. And as we explained previously, as the Brisa brings here too, Sha Uber Paisel, their Uber is a double-edged sword for bad. First of all, he invalidates. For example, when there's a Bas Kohen that became impregnated from a Yisrael where she can't go back to her father's household because she's pregnant. And the Eina Meichel also works the other way also. When you have a Bas Yisrael that became pregnant from a Kohen, he can't go ahead and feed her because she doesn't have children from him yet. And neither can he feed the slaves either. That's the Rabbi Yossi, as we had mentioned, his opinion, where the Uba will create problems for the Nichsei, for the Avdi Tzermbaz. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The Brisa continues and says, Rabbi Shmuel ber Rabbi Yossi, I mean, Shum Aviv, his son, says in his father's name, Rabbi Yossi, he says the following enigmatic statement, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means, says, Habas Machelas, if there's a daughter, she can feed, Haben Eina Meichel, but if there's a son, then he cannot feed what seemingly the Avodim. The next opinion the Brisa mentions, Rabbi Shim ben Yoichi, I mean, he says, Zecharim, if there are males in the children, then yoichli kulan. Then all the slaves could eat because of the male children. And what that essentially means is that we're not concerned. In other words, we're going back on this last case, seemingly, which Rabbi Yossi had said. Rabbi Yossi said that if hinich bonim v'nichem uberes, if let's say he left children, and he left her in the pregnant state. So he said the Avdi Melug could eat because of the mother. But the Avdi Tzermbazel cannot eat because, which was Rabbi Yossi's opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, was because of the chilek of the Uber. Now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Bisi added, he says, well, if there's a daughter, then the Abdi Tzaren Baza would be able to eat. If it's a son, not. And that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is saying that, wait, if there are males in the sons, then all the avodim could eat. And what that means is that the fact that the woman's pregnant and that there's a fetus will not cause problems for the Abdi Tzaren Baza. Now, and that's in spite of the fact that he agrees to the basis of Rabbi Yasi that a fetus could be kaina and therefore should be a problem. Now, the reason why he holds it's not a problem is because maybe this fetus is a female. And if it's a female, the female doesn't inherit anything when there are male sons. And that's what we're saying over here. If there's zecharim, yeichlu kulan. Now, even if you're going to say that the fetus is male, but maybe there's going to be a miscarriage. And the reason is because all women that give birth, there's a 50-50 possibility of being male or female. But additionally to that, there are also those that miscarry. So what you do is, halachically, is that you take the minority of those that miscarry and you add it to the 50% that are possibly female. Comes out to have a viable male is actually the minority. And there's always halacha, lemi'uta lechashin, and we're never concerned for minority options. And therefore, if there's male sons and a fetus, meaning that the woman is pregnant, that fetus is not going to create a problem because the odds are, the majority is telling us that this fetus is not a problem for the Abdi Tzaren Baza because A, it might be a female, and even if it's a male, it might be the pregnancy might not go full term and the child might not be born. And because of that, they're allowed to, all the Abdi Tzaren Baza could eat. However, if Nekevos, if all the inheritors, meaning there were children left over and the woman is pregnant, but if they're all female, then lo yoichlu, then the Abdi Tzaren Baza cannot eat. And the reason is, Shema yimtza uber zacher, maybe the fetus is going to be male, ve'en lebanus b'makom ha-ben klum. And that means to say, all those children that there are over there are not relevant for the halachas of Yerusha, because the male is the one that inherits, the females in halacha don't. So because of that, since that child might be male, all of them are going to be insignificant, he's going to be, and the fetus is in this situation where it creates problems for the Abdi Tzaren Baza. Now the Gemara asked on what Rav Shimon ben Yochai just said, what do you mean? My area Shema Yimtza Uberzacha, why do you have to say because maybe he's going to be male, and that means to say all the children are not significant regarding feeding, because they don't inherit when there's even one male. Typically, the Nekeva Nam Apostle, what do you mean? It should be a problem, even if the fetus is a female, will create problems, because since all the children anywhere are female, so who are inheriting? All the daughters. And that means to say that this female fetus is also going to be inheriting as a female, and therefore you get back to the original problem that Rabbi Yasi, which Rabbi Shimon Michael agrees to that premise, that an Uber is Paisel. So why do you have to say because it's a male? And the Gemara says, you're right, Chad Devoid Kamar, he was saying one and another. First of all, chadud in the kevin nami pasla. First of all, that even if it's a female, even that would be a problem. Va'oy chemiyim tzol bezoch. And plus, additionally, what he was saying was, and maybe it's going to be male. Ve'en labanis b'makom ha-ben klom. And then all the other daughters are irrelevant, and the only relevant one that's considered the Irish, that's the owner of the estate, is the male fetus. And if it is, the fetus is always a problem, that it's enoy meichel. And that's why the Abdi Tzaren Baza, Shimon ben Yochai, says, if they're only kevis, because of the fetus, then they cannot eat. If the children that were alive, besides the fetus, are male, so then we don't care what the fetus is, as we said, because the majority is telling us that the fetus is not a problem. Now, the Gemara explains what was mentioned in the Braisa. What was mentioned is that Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the last opinion that was quoted, said, Zecharim yoichlu, that if there are male children alive when the father Cain died, then in spite of the fact that the mother is pregnant and there's a fetus, so then the Abdi Tzaren Baza could eat. So the Gemara asks, but v'yiko uber? What do I mean? Rav Shimon Yochai agrees to the premise of Rabbi Yasi. And basically the Gemara is explaining what we had just mentioned in our words before, but there's the fetus. If there's the fetus, a fetus is a problem. He's like a non-Kayin who owns possibly this Abdi Tzaren Baza. So he should make it a problem. That the Gemara says, as we said before, Ksava, what Rav Shimon Yochai holds, we continue on Tamid Beis, we're not concerned for minorities, as we said, to say that maybe it's a viable zacher and that he'll have a portion in these Abdi Tzaren Baza, because we go based on the majority. And the majority tells us that either it's going to be female, and even if it's male, maybe it's going to be a miscarriage, as we explained before. V'ibayisim, or if the Gemara says, you could say a different interpretation in Rav Shimon ben Yochai. La'olam kesavar chay shel miyut. No, you really could say, like Reb Meir holds, that he's concerned for minorities too. But still, the fetus will not create a problem. And the reason is because the avdin and le'takanta. What we do is, we make takonas chachamim, as the Gemara will shortly explain, Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel. Now, what that would mean over here in this case, would be that we select for the fetus the other properties of the estate to give to him. Which means to say that we're leaving over the Avdi Tzarim Barzal to say that they're going to the other sons that are alive. Now, as Rashi explains, that's only in the case of that he said by Zacharim Yoichlu. So because we could say that part of the estate, these Avdi Tzarim Barzal go to those who are alive who could feed. The Uber that cannot feed will say that we're giving him a different part of the estate. But when they're all female, you can't do a takana because maybe the fetus is going to be a male and everything's going to be his. So you can't make this different apportioning and saying that, okay, the Avdi Tzarim Barzal will take care of them. We'll make sure that they're going to those who are alive and not the fetus. That would only work when there are Zacharim sons alive and not when they're all female. Now the Gemara says, how do you see such a concept that we make takanas and we could decide who gets what? The Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel, he says, Yisaimim, when there are minor orphans, Shebo lachlik bin nechzavim, who are coming to split up the estate of their father. So Bezdin mamidim avatrumpus. What Bezdin does, the courts appoint for each child someone that's their manager that takes care of them. Ubar lehem, and then every single avatrumpus picks out for their orphan that they're in charge of, chelik yafa, the best portion that they think would work for that child. Then higdilu, when the orphans become adults, yichayin limchais, then at that point they could protest and say that's not something they would have wanted and to redo the process. But what it does help is that for whatever the utility of those objects or the payris, which are dividends that come from those things, that works up until when they do become adult and they do protest. Now actually Rav Nachman the Dei Amar, although this halacha was Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel, he himself argues on one point on Shmuel and he says, Higdilu en yochel limchis. He says actually when they become adults, they cannot protest this division. And the reason is, because if they could, then what's it going to help the authority of Bezin if everyone could just say that I don't agree to it? So therefore he holds actually that this takonas, this avdin li takanta, is actually an absolute. But one thing we see is that there is such a concept, and that's where Reb Shimon Yochi is coming from, where he says that we make takanas, so even though the fetus should create a problem, we say no, we're redirecting his inheritance to other items, not to the avdin li takanta basel. On that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, let's say that this opinion of this Amaroic statement of Rav Nachman actually is telling the Machlokes Tanoim. In other words, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi, who is the third Tana mentioned in the Braisa, said, Zacharim, if there's male sons, then even though the woman is pregnant, Yoichlu, that then the Avdi Tzarim Barzal could eat Truma, and the reason is, as we explained in the second Teretz of the Gemara, is because of the Takana of Rav Nachman, who we can decide who gets what. Now the inference is that the Tana Kama, who he said what seems like a blanket statement that in all situations, Avdi Tzarim Barzal, when there are children and the mother is pregnant, that the Avdi Tzarim Barzal do not eat, sounds like even where there would be this Takana that Reb Shimon Yochai is introducing, meaning that they don't hold over Rav Nachman, and you're not allowed to split up their properties until they become adults. They don't agree to Rav Nachman's halacha from the fact that they don't make this differentiation that Reb Shimon Yochai does. And the Gemara says, Loi. The Kula Alma Isla Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman would tell you that everyone agrees to his opinion. And what that means is that had a Takana been instituted, that yes, even according to Tana Kama, the Avdi Tzarim Barzal would be able to eat. But Vahacha, what the Braisa is talking about, is actually where no takana was done. Now, so then what's their machloikis regarding? As the first teretz of the Gemara says, b'cheshin lemi'uta kemiflagi, they're arguing regarding if we're concerned for minorities. The Rebbe Shimon says that they could eat because he's not concerned for minorities. And Tana Kama says we are concerned for minorities, and essentially what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Nachman would tell you, don't say like the second teretz of the Gemara, he would tell you like the first teretz of the Gemara. Because the second Teretz of the Gemara is saying that that's Reb Shimon ben Yochi's opinion, but that essentially Tana Kama argues on that, and therefore he says, no, everyone agrees to me. But say, like they're arguing, as the first Teretz of the Gemara says, if we are Chayesh Lemi'uta or not. Now the Gemara goes back to the opinion mentioned before Reb Shimon ben Yochi in the Braisa. Shmuel ben Yosi Aimer Mishim Aviv. He said the name of his father. He said this enigmatic statement of Habas Michael, if there's a daughter, then the Avdi Tzarim Barzal could eat Truma. Haben Eina Michael, but if it's a son, then they cannot eat. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that when it says if there's a daughter, it means to say that there's a daughter and not a son, then the Avdi Tzaren Basla could eat Truma. But if there's a ben, if there's males, then the Avdi Tzaren Basla did not eat Truma. To which the Gemara asks, Maishna ben deloy Michael, what would be the difference that when there's a son, that he cannot feed the Avdi Tzaren Basla Truma? Because although generally inheritors, they inherit in their kanam, they can feed their Abdi Tzaren Basla Truma, is Mishum Chelke Shaloba, like we explained. What's the premise that they're all working with, the premise of Rabbi Yossi? Because there's the portion of the fetus who, for different reasons, either because he's considered a zar or because any yolid cannot feed, well then, bas nami loy taichel, then even if there's a daughter that's alive, she also should not be able to feed Truma because of the portion of the uber. It doesn't make a difference if it's a boy or a girl, the fetus is causing problems. So then Abaye says, the case is as follows. Hacha ben achasim mu'atim askim. We're talking about a specific case of when there's very meager provisions left over in this estate. Now, there's a takana d'rabbana that says in such a situation that although generally the sons get everything and daughters they don't inherit. In this case, the daughters get fed from the estate and the sons actually have to go knocking on doors to get food because it's easier for males to do that than females. And since it's very meager left over here, the daughters get fed and the males have to go elsewhere. Now, moreover, we're talking about ukagoyin de'ika ben bahadibas. It's not just when we say that if there's a bas yechelu, that there's only a daughter, there's a meager estate, and there's a son and a daughter. Now, what that means essentially is that biblically, of course, the properties are owned by the sons, but because there's a meager estate, you end up with what's called manashach. Either way you look at it, the fetus is not going to create a problem, and the Avdi Tzaren Basla is going to be able to eat truma. As the Gemara explains, ihai de ma'abra benhu, if the fetus is a male, well le'adif mehai de koi, then he's not better than the male sons that are alive, where the Rabbana took away their rights of the properties and gave it in the domain of the daughter. And if it's in the domain of the daughter, then either way, that male doesn't own the property. So if he doesn't own it, so who's owning it? Only the daughters that are alive. They own it, because if it's a male, he has nothing to do with this. And so therefore, the alive daughter could feed the Avdi Tzaren Basla Truma. Now, Ibasi, even if you say that the fetus is a female, but since there's also a male that's alive, there's a boy, now the female fetus will not acquire a chelik in it. And that's what's interesting about this case, because amai ochlo, why did we say that it gets transferred over the rights of whatever is here in this father's estate from the males to the females? That's only because we said betakanta drabanan. We say it because of this rabbinic enactment, we need the girls who are not going to go knocking on doors to get food. So it goes over to their part of the estate. They get their estate. And therefore, they're the main criteria. But kama dulei nafik la'avar oilam like the kin rabbanan. As long as this fetus is not born, the rabbanan did not make enactment for that daughter to be the owner of this estate, because the whole point is for provisions, and the child's not born to have to eat food. So that's why the case that we're explaining is the case of Bishmol Brebiesi, was talking about that not only is there a bas that will be Michael, but there's also a son. Because as Rashi explains, had there not been a son, only a daughter, then actually biblically, the fetus, if it's a female, would inherit in the properties because only females are inheriting. And therefore, it would have a portion. And if it would have a portion, even if it's a female, then in that case, it would create problems, either being considered a zar or because it's an inner yolid. Now, so the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel's halacha now means as follows. We're talking about that there's nechasim mu'atim, there's meager property over here. There's a daughter and a son, she's machelas. But if there's a son without a daughter, then it's inner Michael, as we said, because if there's only a son with no daughter, so even though it's a meager estate, but the sons get it, then the fetus is going to create a problem because of his part of the inheritance too. But we're talking about when there's bas Michael, it's a bas with a ben, then as we said, it's the ben's, if the fetus is a male, it's not going to create a problem because he has no rights, just like even the living males have no rights. And if it's a female, also doesn't have any rights, because the whole reason why the females have the rights is because what they eat, and that takan drabanu was only made for those who are alive and not for those that weren't born yet. However, the Gemara asked on this qualifying of this case. But Maya Kimta, why do you say the case is talking about Abishmo Bibisi? The Nechas Mu'atim, but the Brice is talking about when there's a meager estate. Well, the name is Seifa. Look at the next part of the Brice, which is Reb Shimon ben Yechoi's opinion, where he said in the case of when all the living children are female, then the Avdi Tzurim Brazel cannot eat. And he said, you know why? Shema Yimtzu Ubezachar, because maybe the fetus is going to be male. Ve'en Labanis B'mokam Ben Klum, as we said before, then the daughters have nothing in relevance to the Yerusha because the fetus is a male and only male will inherit it. And therefore, when they're all female, then you can't go ahead and have the Avdi Tzurim Brazel eat. Now, that the difficulty is, other Abba, to the contrary. The way you just described the case, if it's talking about Nechas Mu'atim, well then the Banis Ninu. If it's talking about that it's only a meager estate, who gets it? Even if the fetus is male, he doesn't get anything. Because that, besides the fact that if there's the mother wasn't pregnant, so the daughters are inheriting, even if there's going to be a male fetus and he's going to inherit, it automatically gets transferred rabbinically to the daughters anyway. So what would be the problem in Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's case if Abrais is told on the Chasim Watson? The Gemara says, Seifa son, Chasim Reuben. There were three opinions mentioned. There was Rabbi Yisi, Shmuel Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. And they're talking about different cases. Shmuel Rabbi Yisi's halacha of Bas Michael ben Eina Michael was talking about the Chasim Watson. Shimon ben Yochai, who's talking about Zecharim and the Kavis, it's talking about a different halacha. He's talking about when there's a large estate, the males do inherit it, and therefore when they're all females, then the pregnant mother will create a problem because maybe the fetus is male, and then the sole inheritor will be the fetus who cannot feed the slave's truma. Now, however, the Gemara asked, now, based on what the previous interpretations were saying, is that menachasimu atim debanis nino. We're saying that if there's a small, meager estate, the ones that are considered basically the owners of the properties, which includes the Avdi Tzurim Brazel, are the daughters. And therefore we said in Basi, Michael, that then even though there's a son, and even if the fetus might be a male, it doesn't make a difference, they are the owners of this estate. And that the Gemara says, is that really so? But V'omer, Basi, Rabbi Yechon, he says, Yisaymin shekadmu amachu b'nechasim mu'atim, if they were male orphans, that even if it's a meager estate, before anything happened, they quickly sold off some of the father's estate. Halacha is masha machu machu. What they sold is a good sale. Now, if it's considered a good sale, obviously that means to say that they're the rightful owners of that part of the estate. And therefore the question is returns, how could it be that the avodim will eat if essentially the primary owners are the zachar? So although it's true, as the Gemara was attempting to say previously, that rabbinically that the daughters get to eat and the sons have to knock on doors, but really we see from the fact that they could sell it that really they're the owners. If they're the owners, they own the Avdi Tzurim Brazel. If they own the Avdi Tzurim Brazel, then the Gemara's question it returns, how can we understand that when with a bas is going to be Michael, still the Uber that might be male is going to create a problem because he has a rights in it because it is the sons that do own the Avdi Tzurim Brazel. So Rav Digmar says, Ve'ela, truthfully, it's a totally different pshat in what Rabbi Shmuel Abrisi was trying to say. My bas tiktani, what did he mean when he says that if it's a bas, Michael, it didn't really mean literally a daughter. It meant the female versus the male. And you know what it meant? It actually meant aim. It meant the mother. And what Rabbi Shmuel Abrisi was saying was as follows. He says that the mother, who is pregnant, can feed her avde milug truma. Just like she herself is able to eat truma because she has children. Now, this when it says ben eina Michael, it meant the actual sons that are inheriting the property, they cannot feed who? The Avdi Tzurim Brazel that's considered their avadim because of the chelka shel uber, because of the pregnant mother that they have, who there's a fetus there, and that fetus creates problems, as we said before. So on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of Shmuel ben Rabbi Yisi, well, essentially, Hein Rabbi Yisi, that's really Rabbi Yisi's opinion. When he says, that's the first opinion mentioned in the Brayse, there are three opinions, Rabbi Yisi, Shmuel ben Rabbi Yisi, and Shmuel ben Yochai. So we explained Shmuel ben Yochai already. We are explaining Shmuel ben Rabbi Yisi now, different as we have said before, that it was Nechas Mu'atim, that's not the case at all. It's just saying that Habas, Michael, that the mother could feed her avodim, which are her nixi meluk, because there's other children. As we said, that's the case that they're all discussing regarding when there's banim and a muberes. And, however, haben eina Michael means the sons that are there cannot feed their avadim, which are the Avdi Tzurim Brazel. Well, that's what Rabbi Yisi said in his opinion. I think Gemara says you're right. Kuler b'shmol Rabbi Yisi k'tani la. It's actually one big statement. It's not Rabbi Yisi, b'shmol Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Shmuel Berbius was saying in the name of his father, that whole halacha, and this is basically was one long case explaining the same concept of that the mother, since there's children, and she eats, so she could feed her Avdi Melug, whereas Haben Eina Meichel, their Avodama, the Avdi Tzimbrauza, that's already Rabbi's opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, that's a problem because there's a fetus, and the fetus is an Eina Meichel, and it creates problems for the Avdi Tzimbrauza. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding those that are actually, as the Mishnah will qualify, all these cases that it's going to say, similar to the case of Uber we had in the previous Mishnah of Paisel v'loy Machilin. They're actually L'chumra both ways, as the Mishnah explains. Ho'uber, regarding a fetus. So, as the Mishnah will explain, it's Paisel v'ein Machil, meaning it creates problems. For example, when you have a Bas Kohen that gets married to Yisrael, and then he dies without any children, but he leaves her pregnant. So in that case, she cannot go back home to her father, which she would have been able to had she not been pregnant. The fetus creates a problem. It's Paisel. But it's also the other way a problem. It's Ve'eno Machel. In other words, if you have a Bas Yisrael that gets married to a Kohen and he dies, and he leaves her pregnant, as we said in our previous Mishnah, that he cannot feed yet. He's an Eino Yolud. He's in a state where he cannot feed. So therefore, although this woman who is married to a Kohen has a possible child, as long as he's a fetus, he cannot feed her Truma. Next case of the Mishnah, also somewhere in the middle, hence it creates problems both ways, is Vahayavam, which is, for example, if let's say you have a Bas Kohen that's a Shemeris, she's anticipating Yibum for her husband's brother that's a Yisrael, a non-Kohen. So he is Pasla. He invalidates her from the Truma of her father. And it's also the other way around too. If let's say you have a Bas Yisrael, that she's anticipating a Yavim that's a Kohen, he cannot be Michael her because not married yet. So it's again, all these cases are somewhere in the middle where it doesn't let her go back to her previous status of a Bas Kohen, and neither does it allow her to go forward to the status of whoever this individual is into the Kuhuna to eat Truma because of that new situation. Third case is V'ha'erison, also somewhere in this middle ground where if she's engaged, so if it's a Bas Kohen that's engaged to a non-Kohen, he already invalidates her. You have the other way around too. If she's a Bas Yisrael that's engaged to a Kohen, he doesn't feed her Truma yet. V'acher, same thing applies to a deaf-mute, where that relationship will create problems in both ways too. Uventesh Hashanah v'yemechad, and if a child is 9 years old and one day, which Gemara will explain exactly what this case is talking about, all these cases are Paislin, which again we said that's basically when it's a Bas Kohen who was able to eat up until now. This new situation will invalidate her previous existence. And Mechilin, and if let's say it's a Bas Yisrael, they will not let her yet enter into that new reality, into eating Truma. Now the Mishnah tells us, Safik Shu Ben Teshonah B'Yim Echad, if it's doubtful if the child is already 9 years old or Safik She'en, or maybe it's not, still the child will be considered like a 9-year-old child and will be pais, will invalidate it, which is going back on that halacha that we said, ben tesh hashem yamecha, the pais of machilin, same thing would include even if it's a doubt if it's a 9-year-old child. Safik hevi beis Cyrus, if it's a doubt if he brought 2 pubic hairs, which makes him an adult, or safik shloi hevi, or if it's a doubt if he didn't bring it, which this is going back on the case before that, which spoke about erison, which we said that would invalidate the bas kohen. And that the Mishnah is telling us that if there's a minor that gets engaged to a woman, which we're not sure if he's already an adult or not, did he bring 2 pubic hairs or not, his kedushin is a kedushin. In other words, if he had brought it, he would be mekudesh. If he didn't, he wouldn't. So even in such a situation, he would invalidate the bas kohen that he's engaged to from eating truma. Now, a third case of when it's a suffix where we also say lechumra is nafal abayis olav v'al bas achav. If a man was married to 2 women, now one of his wives was his brother's daughter. Now, the house collapsed on them, they both died. Now, ve'en yadu, it's not known, eza meis rishon, who died first? In other words, there's a doubt that maybe the husband died first, which that makes, at the moment of death, that both his wives are falling in front of his brother. Hence, the co-wife would be exempt from Yibam because she's a tsaras habas, because the daughter was also falling for her father, which is an erva that exempts the tzaras. Now, but there's also a doubt that maybe his brother's daughter, which was his wife with him at the time of the accident, maybe she died first. Hence, at the time of falling for Yibam when he dies, the tzara was not a tzara's erva, as we learned in the beginning of Masechet Yevamos, that says v'kulan imesu moy amianu, if the erva died or if she did miyun before the husband died, then tzara say mutar is actually then the tzara is permitted. So we have this doubt. What do you do? That the Mishnah says tzaras l'chilatzes v'lemisabemes. So the co-wife does chalitza and doesn't do yibum again out of doubt, because maybe she is a valid Yavama, so you have to do something, but neither can you consummate the relationship because she might be actually an Erev of Eishasach, so you do Chalitza, not Yibim. As Rashi says, the reason why we put this over here is because it's similar to the previous two cases of Suffolk if he's 9 years old or if he's an adult, which has ramifications regarding the case of Arison and of the Bia of a Tesha Shonam Bia Mechad. And therefore it said also this case of this doubt about a Tzara of an Erev. Now the Mishnah elaborates and clarifies all these cases that we mentioned regarding where they're going to be paisel, they're going to paisel, and neither will they be meichel. So the first case mentioned was hu'uber, which was actually what we had mentioned in the previous Mishnah. That's paisel and a meichel. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Ibas koin lisrol hi, if it's a daughter of a family of kahanim that was married to a non-koin and that he dies. And normally she would go back to her father's household. But she's pregnant. That's what we're saying. The uber is pasula will invalidate her from going back to her father's household. That's because, as it says, a pasuk in the Yikra, it says, v'shava el beis avi. It says that if her husband, the non-kohen, dies, she can go back to her father, as the pasuk qualifies, kinareha, as she was in her youth, which sounds like she has to be how she was when she was still single. Prat l'mubres, which excludes if she's pregnant, when she's single, she's not pregnant, and that's where we see that the uber is paisel, doesn't let her go back to her previous state. Now, the other way around, ibas yisrael l'koyin hi, if let's say she was a daughter of not kahanim, who was married to a koyin, and then he dies, that loy maichala, that then, although there's no children, but she has a fetus, he will not let her eat truma, and that's because that as long as this yisraelis, who although generally she could eat because she has children, in this situation she wouldn't be able to because yolud meichel. It's only if a child that's born that can cause his mother to eat truma. As the Brisa learns in Torah's Koyanim, Pasuk Yikach of Beis says that it says yelid beisoy him yoichel b'lachmai, that the children that are born to the Koyan, who are his family, they could eat from his bread, meaning they could eat truma. Now, the way it's read is not yoichlu, but yachilu. They can cause others to eat, which sounds like only when the yelid beisai, when the child is born, then he could cause his mother to eat because she has children from her husband that passed away. But if he's not born, then he cannot have her eat yet, and therefore we see uber is paisel v'ein meichel. Next case from the Mishnah was hayavam, when there's a yavam that this woman is anticipating. So that's also both ways is going to be a problem. Ibas koyin liyisraelhi, if she's a daughter of a koyin who was married to a man, a non-Kohen, then her husband died without any children, so normally she'd go back home. But she's has a zika, she has this anticipation for the Yavam, who's a non-Kohen, pasala, so he invalidates her. Because the Pasuk in Yikra tells us, v'shavel be'savia, that if her husband dies, she doesn't have children from him, she goes back to her father's household, and she could continue, resume eating truma. But that's prat l'shemeres Yavam, that excludes and a Shemeres Yavam where she's not in the domain of her father yet because she's still bound to this Yavam who has to decide what he's going to do with her, Yibam or Chalitza. So she's not in the category of a Shalom Besavi yet, so he passels her from being able to eat Truma. And the other way, Ibas Yisrael Kainhi, if she was a daughter of a non-Kain who was married to a Kain and now she fell for Yibam for his brother who's also Kain, Loi Maichala, he's not allowed to go ahead yet and give her Truma to eat. And the reason is because Kinyan Kaspa Yom Rahman, the Torah says that the acquisition of his money, his acquisition, is what gets to eat Truma. But Vaha, the Shemeres Yavam, in this status of Shemeres Yavam, Kinyan Da'achavu is still the acquisition of his brother, and therefore in the state of Shemeres Yavam, he cannot yet feed her. And therefore, again, you see the same double-edged sword where it's Paisel, Ve'ena Meichel. Next case of the Mishnah was Ve'erison, when she's engaged to someone. So as the Gemara explains, Ibas Kohen Liyisrael hi, if she's a daughter of a Kohen who's engaged to a non-Kohen, Pasala, he's going to invalidate her from eating Truma, which she was when she was single. As the Gemara continues at Tav Samachesim and Av, the Hakanya Bahavaya, he already has acquired her through Kedushin, meaning the moment of Kedushin already invalidates her, as the Pasuk says, Ubas koin kisil irzar, that a daughter of a koin, when she will be, which used the term havaya, to a non-koin, cannot eat truma anymore. Now we always know that the term siya, havaya, means kedushin, so the moment of kedushin, she already becomes pasul. And the other way around, vibas yisrael koini, if she's a daughter of a non-koin, who's engaged to a koin, loy maichala, he cannot yet feed her truma, although it's an acquisition as we just brought. That's Mishum de Ula, that's because of, as Ula says in Masechet Ksubas and Daven Zayinim Beis, that you're right. Biblically, actually, a non-Kohen woman that's engaged to a Kohen actually could eat Truma. As we said, because Kinyan Kasboy, the Torah says, there's already from Havaya, and it also says Kinyan Kasboy, which she's his acquisition already from the moment of engagement. So what's the reason that, as we're saying over here, she cannot eat Truma? That's a rabbinic decree, because maybe when they're engaged, she still lives at home for those 12 months. Now, maybe he's going to pour her a cup of truma wine. She's going to take it back home, and she's going to tell her brothers and sisters, you got to taste this wine. It's such a good wine. My chassan gave it to me. And guess what? It's truma wine. She could eat it, but they cannot drink it. And that's why, because of that rabbinic concern, we said that not only will it be paisel, but also ve'ina meichel, although biblically it would be, but ve'ina meichel when it's a bas yisrael, the kain, because of this gezeirah rabbanon, of having her siblings drink and eat truma.